You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Get It Right Texoma with the Texoma Trio. Mike Hendren, Terry McAdams, Trey Sorala. How is everybody? Welcome back to the show. Welcome back, guys. How you been doing? Since last we met.
Enjoying this crazy weather. I mean, up and down.
It's been cold this morning.
Cold and hot and cold. This is the typical, right now is kind of the typical Texas weather, North Texas weather, where it's heater in the morning, air conditioner in the afternoon, and heater at night.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, we have I had a customer in yesterday that moved here. Get this. It's a young couple. Trying to remember their name. Lauren and Isaiah. They came into town. Just yesterday arrived from Michigan. They picked Wichita Falls.
Michigan.
They did research.
Yeah. So they're Michiganders, by the way, which is a weird way.
He lived in Michigan for about the last 10 years. She's, I guess, grew up there, but he was originally from Florida. They got tired of the cold and the cost of living and everything.
Yeah.
Did a lot of research interesting that they ended up here in Wichita Falls.
They didn't blindfold and throw a dart, right? They actually researched.
No, they came here, and so Lauren's iPhone was had taken a dump. It was under warranty, so we got her taken care of. Well, we're getting her taken care of. She has to get her some other things taken care of, but we're going to get her taken care of. So anyway, I turned her over or referred them to Sally Gray. It's a local welcome to Texoma.
Yes.
So they're going to get busy. I asked them if they would be okay with that. And there you go.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
So they had already found a place to live. Otherwise, I'd refer them to you, of course. Yeah. And if they need any, motorsports equipment or lawnmower or something, they'll be going over here for Eddie Hill. So, so anyway, so there you go. So it was interesting. But that just coming into Wichita Falls, man.
The weather.
I just had to. Yeah. They were here for the because I said, well, it does get hot, and so
Terry did everything but give her bra size on that one.
Okay, that'll work.
By the way, Mike, what do we do here at this show?
Besides going to the ditch, I don't know. We are here recording in the.
I saw in the audio that thing that Terry was going to. It said dirty audio, and I didn't know if that was Mike going. Hi, everybody.
Okay, it's all Trey.
Yeah.
It's all Trey. If it's dirty audio, it's all Trey. No, we are here in the MacTech Solutions studio, and we get together as frequently as we can to talk about local happenings in the Texoma area, North Texas, Southern Oklahoma. For those of you that don't know what Texoma means, that's the North Texas, Southern Oklahoma area. Collectively, we call Texoma. And we talk about events and happenings that are going on here. And then also news of a local and regional and state and national and international and interstellar interest.
Politics sprinkled in here and
Little something sprinkled in there, We got we got the Trumpinator back behind us, back here watching over us, guarding over us here. So.
So we're here.
That's
and,
we're here.
And just so we our publishing schedule, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we will have audio part is going to be on the regular podcast, and then we have our YouTube channel as well that will be a supplement to those audio options. So.
Yep, and we do mention ourselves once in a while as far as being sponsors of this, Eddie Hill's Fun Cycles, which is Trey's business, and MacTech Solutions, which is Terry's business, which is where the studio is located. And then my businesses that I'm involved in, one of which is the real estate business. I'm a local real estate agent affiliated with Anchored Realty here in Wichita Falls. And if you're looking to buy or sell a home or commercial property even, or if you're looking for land, farm and ranch land, whatever you're looking for, give me a call. In fact, I'm going to give you my phone number during this podcast, which I don't think that I've done. I want to give out my number. 940-232-3876.
He's looking for dirty audio, by the
way. That's right.
Breathe heavy on the phone.
So,
yeah.
You imagine what kind of creepy calls I'm going to get now.
Our audience.
This audience.
No.
Yeah.
The
only thing about when it goes over the interwebs, you never know who's going to pick it up. You might have
the interwebs.
Some wokester or something that pick it up out there.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So if you're looking for property here in North Texas, I'm your guy. Give me a call. Look me up.
There you go.
Mike Hendren. There you go. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about what's going on around here. Redneck Culinary Academy, which is something that Trey is deeply involved with and has been for a while now.
Yeah, a number of years.
And kind of explain to people, I know you're looking for members. You're looking for members.
Yeah, we're always looking for new members. Redneck Culinary Academy, by the way, the word academy is kind of a ha-ha. It's just showing that we're a bunch of goobers or that aren't professionals. We cook. We're a cooking group or cooking organization, and charity cooking organization.
Right.
Cook for a lot of first responders, hospice, and Tim Tebow's Night to Shine, and that sort of thing.
Nonprofit type stuff.
Nonprofit organizations. Yeah. But it's a group of guys that gets together. We cook. Our specialty is catfish. We have a big fish fry, but we do chicken fried steak. We do several other menus. And then our big cook every year, because we actually go out to Truscott, Texas, which I know nobody knows where the hell that is. It's a ghost town. It's technically a ghost town in Texas. Mm-hmm. It's west of here, about an hour and a half. And the Big Country Veterans puts on a hog hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where they hunt hogs from helicopters. Mm-hmm. Now, before you get upset about it, hogs are an invasive species. That's why there is no season for hogs in Texas. The season is 365, 24/7, 365.
That's right.
As long as you're on your own property, you're shooting safely, or you have the permission of the landowner.
Right, right.
Hogs have caused so much damage.
Yeah,
and they disrupt the environment. I mean, it's not just damage for human stuff. They disrupt the environment because they go in the ecology of an area.
Right.
So anyhow, they're very invasive. But these veterans get to go out and they get to actually shoot from helicopters. They hunt hogs from helicopters, and it's great. And we show up and we cook meals for 3 days there. So,
yeah. Cool.
But we also do, most of our stuff is local here. We're based in Wichita County, but if you're interested, hit me up. Eddie Hills Fun Cycle is the best way to get a hold of me, or you can email me. Yeah. And it's on
Facebook page. Yeah.
We have a Facebook page, talks about our mission. But if you're responsible and you want to, it's the camaraderie, you enjoy cooking, and the camaraderie you're getting around. You don't have to be a professional chef. None of us are. But we have good processes. And let me tell you, this is people, what I'm so impressed with our group is, these people care about the flavor, and they care about safety, the food safety, and that sort of thing. We take that stuff very seriously. Mm-hmm. We're not professionals, but the last thing you want is somebody to eat some of your food and go, that was crap, or doesn't feel like you're being safe and clean with their food and stuff like that. We are. We hold each other accountable, and we make sure that we do a good job.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. Just Google Redneck
Culinary
Academy.
Yeah.
And that was the first.
But we're not teaching anybody to cook.
No.
It was the first. We have processes, though. When you, like I said, if you don't know how to cook, or you've never cooked, or you kind of like to grill or something like that, come in. And by the way, all everybody's welcome. I mean, if you have good ideas and thoughts, we can modify things, menus and items and the way processes we do things. But you don't have to be a cook. You can show up. We'll put you to work, and you'll be part of cooking a great meal.
And they are, a 501c3?
501c3, yeah. Yes.
So anything you donate or whatever would go to help their mission.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Well, we got the Wichita Falls Cajun Fest coming back to downtown Wichita Falls. It's its 16th year for Cajun Fest. It's going to happen April the 20th, 11 to 7, 901 9th Street, downtown Wichita Falls, Cajun Fest.
Is 901 9th Street, that's probably the park that's right there on the corner of 9th and Scott,
I believe
it?
That is, yes. I think that's what that is.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the hub of the whole thing right there. And then coming up on May the 4th, a Kasi Chili event at Eddie Hills Fun Cycles, 401 North Scott, downtown Wichita Falls.
And I want to make it official. You guys are both going to judge, right?
Oh, yeah.
We've got it on record. We got it on tape.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had me at Chili.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Kasi is the Chili Appreciation Society International. These are the people that are serious chili cooks.
Yeah.
And they actually go, they qualify. They go to local events all over the country, really,
yes,
and qualify for be able to go to cook in Terlingua, which Terlingua is, that's what the international chili cook-off every
spell
year.
That.
Terlingua.
Okay.
I believe that's right.
Wow.
An academic master
here. He's down in South Texas. He's down by Big Bend.
Terlingua, Texas.
Yeah, terrible tongue. Terlingua. Terrible tongue. That's what that means in Spanish.
Terrible tongue.
Okay. Yeah. Lingua is, by the way, if you ever go to a Mexican restaurant and they ask you if you want lingua, you're eating tongue, by the way. That's what that means. But anyhow, it's these people are serious cooks. They're serious chili cooks. And they go to all these local events and they qualify. They have to get so many points to be able to qualify for the International Cook-Off. And we actually hold a cook-off event, and it is one of the sanctioned Casi chili cook-offs. I mean, these people are serious. They have judges. They have Casi judges that come in. Wow. You bring your own judges, but they have somebody that oversees it from the organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so anyhow, but it's going to be Saturday, May the 4th. All the proceeds are going to go to benefit the pets, spay and neuter clinic and that sort of thing. Animal clinic here in Wichita Falls.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in coming in, we'll look at seeing whether there's going to be some chili for sale. We may try to do that this year where we have bowls of chili for sale as well. I'm not quite there yet, but the chili cook-off is going to happen. So if you're part of that Casi event, you understand what we're talking about, there's going to be a good cook-off.
Yeah, the worst bowl of chili I've had at one of these things was really good.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just going to tell you that right now. Huskies Block Party coming up May 25th, 11 to 7 Castaway Cove. Go to Huskies for Life Reunion Facebook page, and you can get more information about that. Of course, the Hershey Huskies, that's our Trey and I, our alma mater, high school alma mater.
That's right.
And this is the last year for Hershey as a high school. It will transition into a junior high school beginning with the 2024-2025 school year, which will actually start in late August-ish.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's coming up. And then Backdoor Theater's Improv, June the 1st, September 21st, November the 2nd. You've done the Improv, Trey.
Oh, yeah. I've taken a hiatus because I really haven't had time to dedicate to it. I definitely want to get back into it. But it's not just the Improv. Backdoor Theater is a nonprofit theater here in Wichita Falls.
Yeah.
And it's been around for a long time. They do a lot of great shows. There's a lot of really good, talented local theater people. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of the talented ones. I'm one around, but I'm not one of the talented ones. But there are some very good, talented comedic actors, dramatic actors, singers and dancers and that sort of thing. And so they put on shows. So go to their Facebook page or you can go to their website and see what shows they have. But if you want just a night of entertainment, it's reasonably priced, and you go out and have a good time and support some local arts. Yep. It's great time.
And they're partnering with the Wichita Theater to try to promote the arts, the theater arts here in Wichita.
This is theater with a R-E, not an E-R.
Yeah, right. check out. We got some good talent here on both theaters.
Absolutely. So.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about this eclipse that's coming.
Oh, yes.
Total eclipse
of the on
April. April
Bonnie
the 8th.
Tyler, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So Bell County has declared a state of emergency because that's where apparently in Texas the best viewing is going to be.
That's
going to
be the Nexus in Texas.
Right.
And I think there's been other counties. Bell County, I think, was the first one that declared.
Well, have you guys kept up with any of the news on this nationally?
A little bit.
There's all this hype about there's this series of areas where this is going to cross. There's people are making biblical connections to this. There's a story that came out. I saw it yesterday. I'm not sure exactly when it really hit, but I saw it yesterday. We're recording this program on the what is today, the 20th, 19th,
19th
of March, and I saw this yesterday on March the 18th. There's a comet that has not passed near Earth in over 70 years that is scheduled to be close enough to Earth during the eclipse to be visible, allegedly, during the day, during the eclipse. It will be close enough and bright enough in the sky that if you happen to be someplace where the eclipse is particularly good, you should be able to view this comet if you know where in the sky to look for it.
Okay.
The Devil Comet, maybe?
The Devil Comet, yes, that's the one.
Returns for the first time in 71 years.
71, yeah.
Yeah, the fact that people are turning this biblical, this is just how the world is spinning, folks. Oh, my goodness.
This is an observation. I mean, we can't say for sure, but it's, but all these people, and they can't, and nobody can predict it for sure. And what, you know, I don't know. Let's just say this. When it happens, if it's some sort of, you know, the rapture and all that, I mean, we're not going to know.
Oh, yeah. This is.
It will happen. You'll know it when it happens.
Well, eclipses have happened before.
Oh, yes. Many happen. And comets.
We have an eclipse somewhere visible almost every year.
Yeah.
To some degree or another.
Right, exactly.
Now, total eclipses don't come around quite as often. And ones that are viewable this well across the U.S., I don't think have happened that often in our lifetime.
There was an eclipse when we were kids, because I can remember going outside when we were in elementary school.
Yes.
Standing outside with the little glasses on and stuff looking at an eclipse. It might not have been a total, but it was dark.
You did you had the glasses, and then, you know, of course, if you've got like a welding helmet, I guess, with certain kinds of lenses.
You don't look at it directly.
You know, but the safest way I've been told is you take like two pieces of paper and you poke a hole in one and you know, you can view the whatever. Here's the deal. For everyone thinking that this is some sort of end of the world thing, okay, you're not going to know when that happens. Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm gonna get biblical on you here myself for a minute. You're not gonna know. You know, we do not know the day nor the time, the hour, none of that. It's not for us to know. And you know, for everyone debating the timeline and trying to put a clock on this thing, I think what we have to wrap our head around is this. If you're God, time doesn't mean the same thing to you that it does to us mere mortal humans. Time is relevant to us because of the rising and setting of the sun and the fact that our life has a finite span. You're going to live 70, 80, 90 years, and then you're going to check out, and that's going to be that.
And by the way, time was different in the ancient world. So it's a man-made thing.
It is.
The sun rises and falls.
Yes.
So we're on what's called the Gregorian calendar now. But there was a time when we were on the Julian calendar.
Yes.
Named for Julius Caesar.
Yes.
And there was like 11 days that they had to skip to basically get on this calendar. So, time is something that we've created. Yes, the sun does rise. And I mean, there's major things that happen every day or every month and every year.
Yeah.
But as far as us putting a time and saying this is an hour, or this is a minute, or this is a whatever, that's something we made up.
But, you know, God is infinite, and God's always been there, so time really doesn't matter to him like it does to you and I, because he's not on the clock for anything, really. Well, you know, he's just –
He's not like the old cartoon where you had the sheep herder dog and the fox or whatever, and they would clock in and then – have lunch together and then clock out or clock back in and go after each other.
Morning, Sam. Morning, Ralph.
Yeah,
don't pop in and start killing each other. Yeah.
Well, here's an article just to give you an idea of what the thinking is on the other side. I say the other side on this connection to the elections. Number one, it says this author of this tribeofchristians.com. Don't know anything about them, but it certainly probably lets us know what they're into here. I'm going to take you through the most in-depth literal meaning behind the solar eclipse and reveal what this eclipse actually means, its connection to the 2024 elections,
oh my God,
the warning to both the United States and for Israel, and how this sign may, in fact, be a warning concerning the end
times. Yeah, it's bullshit. It's not a warning. It's not. It's
so just.
It happens to be now, and this is crap. I'm sorry. How much of a narcissist are you to think that you're so important, that we as human beings, that our little lives in this vast scheme of the universe,
yes,
that our little lives are so important that the fucking universe is revolving around us? Are you serious? Seriously.
Yeah.
God. Well. I'm telling you, narcissism, folks, all roads lead to narcissism. Narcissism will be the bane of our – it'll be the ruination of our culture.
Well,
narcissism is. It's getting worse and worse, it's going at lightning speed.
I think you look at you look at some of the celebrity things that happen around us all the time, and you can see how corrosive narcissism is.
It's horrible.
In society. You can see how it erodes narcissism has a way of eating away. At any trust and any faith that you have in other people. You know, when you realize how self-important some people feel about themselves. Speaking of self-important, Don Lemon.
Oh, gosh.
First of all, I did not realize, and maybe I've just been too busy and I'm just behind on things. I did not realize Don Lemon was working for Elon Musk.
Well, not very long.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't either.
Apparently it was like 27 right. minutes,
yeah.
and
yeah.
he was done.
Yeah.
And I had no idea, no clue that Don Lemon, the former CNN hack, had gone to work for Elon Musk. And my first question would be, Elon, why?
Well, I think Musk is trying to bring in more or different voices.
Right. It's okay to.
Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah.
But if you don't ever hear the message, then how is it that you can right? I mean, if the message doesn't get out, how do you have the opportunity?
I can understand somebody like Musk trying to be a bridge, perhaps. The problem is when you bring people into your organization who like to blow up bridges.
Well.
But I don't know that Lemon, you don't know how Lemon sold himself to Musk.
No.
He might have told Musk, hey, I said a lot of these things because I had to, because CNN forced me to. I don't know. And then I think what happened was, it wasn't the story that he was interviewing Musk. Musk was going to be his first guest, and then Musk said, this guy's a crackpot.
Right. Yeah. He said, hey, and the only reason that Musk even did the interview was because he made a deal with him to get him on Twitter, and it's a promotional thing. He doesn't do those kinds of interviews that often. And he's had this one, what was the newspaper that interviewed him and was making all these assumptions about, these questions about, how many times do you beat your wife? You know, kind of questions. It's like, wait a minute. And so he had to turn that around. But in this case, it was like, this was supposed to be friendly territory. And the guy blew himself up. In all of this, and it's like Musk said, you know what? We ain't doing this. And he canceled the contract.
In professional wrestling vernacular, he was trying to get himself over.
But you're right. I didn't know anything about it.
I didn't either. I had no idea. I
blew up in his face. What do you expect when you. You got to be somewhat respectful of somebody who's offering you, like, $5 million?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Here's the problem. Well, this is an overarching issue with social media in general. It has given people license to be disrespectful, to be hurtful, to be mean-spirited, or to just otherwise just spread bullcrap about other people. There are things that people will say on a social media platform that they would never say to anyone's face in person, that they would never say in public. It gives them license. They feel like they have license to say and do things that they otherwise wouldn't do. You wouldn't run into somebody at a party and say some of the crap that some of these people say.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
No,
because there are consequences when you're face-to-face with somebody.
You'd be afraid of getting punched,
Exactly.
And so it's just... It's giving people licenses. It goes back to the narcissism thing, you know, that people are just so full of themselves, and particularly when they can sit there an armchair quarterback online and never have to deal with any face-to-face consequences of what they're saying.
And Don Lemon has shown himself on a CNN show about narcissism. Remember when they were talking about how unsafe New York City had become?
Yeah.
And that idiot looks at the camera and goes, I don't understand why people are saying this. And I think he was somebody's partner. We went out to dinner and had a lovely dinner, and we never felt unsafe. Okay, so you go out to dinner at some place, and you walk down one street somewhere in New York City, and you don't get mugged, so you feel safe. But the rest of New Yorkers should deny how they feel when they get on that subway.
Don Lemon is walking down many of the more unsafe streets. Well,
sure,
in New
exactly.
York City,
yeah, yeah. He's
ever.
He's like having a lovely dinner somewhere. He's not having a lovely dinner in the middle of the ghetto.
Yeah.
Well, and one particular thing that kind of was irritating to Musk was that he was asked about ketamine use. And that, on the surface, if you don't know a little bit about what's been going on in the psychological world, in the psychiatry world, with regard to ketamine, it's apparently got a great use in, or a very effective use in helping treat depression. And there's, I know a friend of mine up in Kansas is an IT guy, and he helps out a customer who's a psychiatrist, and they have some clinics. And so it's FDA approved or whatever. At some level, it's FDA approved, and there's research to back it up. And they offer up ketamine treatments.
Mm-hmm. And oh, it's, so it's, for it's various a, things. So, it's a accepted treatment in the psychological
or psychology. I think, right. And I think what we, psychiatry, what maybe a lot of people think of is that, like, I know that oftentimes, I don't know if it's veterinarians' offices are oftentimes broken into looking for ketamine.
Right.
And I don't know if any other types of offices, but yeah. I know that, that's probably what a lot of people believe is just some, you know, legal drug. But no, it actually has, at least latest research seems to indicate that it helps people with depression.
Well, so. I think there was more to it than that, because Elon Musk doesn't seem sensitive. I mean, he's been on Joe Rogan. He's been challenged a lot.
Well, yeah.
And I don't think that, you know, Don Lemon talked about ketamine use and Elon Musk flipped out. I know that some people are trying to couch it that way.
Right.
But Don Lemon asked him something, one thing uncomfortable, and he canceled
No.
Well, but there are people that are trying to couch it this
My
way.
Guess is there's probably...
You, there are people that are trying to couch
there's
it.
There's probably a lot more that happened behind the scenes with Lemon.
Oh, sure.
That the public didn't see and doesn't know about and won't necessarily know about unless Musk or Lemon talk about it.
Right.
But there probably were more things that happened behind the scenes than in front of the camera that led to this. And, you know, I'm joking about, you know, 25 minutes or whatever. I don't know how long Don Lemon worked for the guy or worked for Twitter. But apparently not very long. And I think under the surface of it all, I think Elon Musk is probably, because he is a businessman and he's as deeply entrenched in the world of capitalism as anybody can be. Yeah. I think he's probably a much more fiscally conservative guy than some people understand. I think he's also probably a more politically conservative guy than maybe even he's willing to admit, because you do... You know, once you pigeonhole yourself as a conservative or a liberal or, you know, you're left, you're right, you're whatever, then all of a sudden everybody starts pushing you into that corner. And maybe he's tried to avoid that. But I just think that here's what I know. Most people that I know who are in business for themselves are politically conservative people. The reason, I think, principally being... You know, from a business perspective, that most people that I know that are in business are, is people in business feel like the more conservative politicians are less likely to come after everything you've worked so damn hard for.
Right. Well,
no more complicated than that. You've dedicated 20 or 30 or 40 years of your life to build a business, to build an income, to build wealth for you and your family. And you don't want some jackleg politician coming out of left field and trying to take and take and take and take and take away from you the way some of them seem to want to do. You got the, you know, you got the Bernie Sanders of the world on the left that feel like, you know, if you're in business for yourself, well, number one, you have to be a wealthy person, and by God, you're not paying your fair share,
yeah,
and you need to pay more.
Musk self-identifies as a classic liberal. And you do have what happens, I think, Mike, and you're right about that, is people get to a certain status, but a lot of times people get to an elite level of wealth,
uh-huh,
and then they become liberal more. They can become more liberal again because it doesn't affect them. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if Bill Gates gave away half of his wealth, mm-hmm, Bill Gates is still he's going to be fine.
He's still a very wealthy guy.
Exactly, and it's never going to affect him or his family or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I do think that at some point, a lot of times people will go more conservative. And then you see people that get into that, like I said, that stratosphere of wealth, mm-hmm, to where it really no longer affects them. You can take as much as you want from me, and you can't take enough away. And mm-hmm, so therefore, then it's like, okay, well, I want people to have more, and I want the government to get more involved. And that happens a lot of cases.
Well, that I think they might revert to their true being. their true mm-hmm. self, because they, but when you're in it every day and you're building the business, you the reality comes into play, right? Yeah. Reality hits and you have to make decisions that are conservative inherently, because yes. you've got to save the business or keep the business on
track.
Yeah,
the bottom line is the bottom line.
You have numbers. Exactly. It's all, it's truly objective, right. not subjective. And well, so then you have to follow that. And then you get, like you're saying, the ultra rich, then you're so, you've basically built this system. It's already happening. You don't have to worry about it. You're anymore. Not in, yeah, and now you start to revert back to that. But
right. Musk is not in there every day making decisions on every little toot that everybody makes in his organization.
Well, you know,
he can't. Your organization is so massive.
Yeah, you mentioned Bill Gates. Okay, so Bill Gates is no longer, as I understand, he's no longer involved in the day-to-day operations of Microsoft. Well, you hasn't been for a long time. He's no longer necessarily an influential voice within the company. But I think because of the connection there, you still have to be kind of careful, because you still the company still has shareholders to whom they are beholden. Yeah. And it's the same way with Microsoft. It's the same way with Apple. It's the same way with Elon Musk and his organization, with Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway. Yeah. All of these uber wealthy people in the world, they still have to be a little bit careful, even when they don't have a direct hand in everything that's going on in the company anymore every day. They still have to be a little bit careful because of your name, your face, your image connected to that organization. You still can have influence over stock prices, movements, over in investor confidence or the lack thereof. Well, and so you have to be cognizant, I think, even at that level of, you know, how you're impacting that company. And I, you know, what you're talking about, you know, some people might call it obscene wealth. And I'm not a greedy guy. I don't want to be obscenely wealthy. I just want to be half obscenely wealthy.
There you go. Partially
well, obscene. Well, but Musk, I think, is a bit of a different animal here, because he is, yes, he can't turn every screwdriver on the assembly line. But he's intimately involved in most of his company, not all of them, I think, but he's definitely in Tesla. He is much more involved probably at his level than other CEOs would be.
He very well may be, but he's not on the day-to-day operations.
Well, he's more active in this business than most.
But he's not running the day-to-day operations. He can't.
No, you're right. But I guess what I'm...
But in terms of his involvement...
Like Mac Tech Solutions, you're running the day-to-day operations.
Because it's a much smaller... Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that he's not intimately involved. I'm not saying that he's not more influenced.
You're right. He's not flipping the switch, opening the door and everything every day. Right.
Yeah. But you look at like, you know, with Gates, you know, okay, his... The early sphere of influence that he had around his company is not really there anymore.
No, not
the way it was 30 years ago. No. Musk, however, is still a relatively young executive in that realm.
Right.
He's still very new to the party here, and so he's still much more intimately connected to SpaceX, to Tesla, to X, to all of these other things than some of these other executives might be.
But he has a reputation of, and he's already said it. He said to shareholders or people who wanted to buy his stock or stock in his company, he said, "Don't buy it." He literally actively encourages people not to buy it, but they buy it anyway. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't care. He seems to not care what you think and whether or not you should do this or this, or that he should do various things. He doesn't care.
He's going to make the moves he needs to make.
And if you want, he said this in no uncertain terms about that, go F yourself if you think that I'm going to win. You're going to go find Apple and all these big companies. Pull your money away. I don't care.
Yeah.
And and I like that about him. Now, don't let's not fool ourselves. He is not a conservative politically necessarily. I think what we like about him, probably most of us, is that he appears to be more about, let's just say what you think, just be free speech.
He seems very common sense guy.
Who does that sound like in the political realm that we've dealt with recently?
Oh, maybe.
The Trumpinator.
So whether he'll vote for Trump or not,
just saying.
But anyway, yeah, we gotta wrap it up.
We're gonna wrap it up here. Yeah, obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, you know that we're on YouTube, so that's where you're seeing us. But you can also hear the audio podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and you can get it with your Apple, your iPhone, your Android device, your Apple iPad, your whatever you got. You can get us a whole lot of ways. Take us with you wherever you go. Please do. And please do go out and like and share our Facebook page if you would as well. And we'd like to have your feedback. We'd like to hear what you think about the program. You can talk about us, whatever you want to talk about. I don't care. Give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, guys, you take care of yourselves. Be careful out there. We'll see you down the road.